seize this opportunity to fulfill the long-held promise of a new world order where brutality will go unrewarded.
Just in case you don't remember, let me jog your memory. In a church they called the Waco Compound, back in April 93, 17 little children, all so helpless and so small, died a senseless death of gas and flames. How many names can you recall? 17 little children. Don't it make you wonder why? 17 little children. How could they deserve to die? Maybe we should stop and ask ourselves if we become so blind. Will 17 little children finally open up your mind? How did you sleep last night, Bill Clinton? Tell me, did you feel their pain? As 17 little children cried out and perished in the flames, Attorney General Janet Reno, I accept your offer to resign. Can you stand for law and order now when you won't answer to your crimes? 17 little children, all so helpless and so small. 17 little children. Can you recall? Maybe we should stop and ask ourselves if we become so blind. Will 17 little children finally open up your mind? I've heard it said the Branch Davidians only got what they deserved. Yet no one seems to know what laws were broken, what was in the warrant they never served. Yesterday I sold my TV set, stop my subscription to the Times. To me it's plain to see the media was an accomplice to these crimes. 17 little children, don't it make you wonder? 17 little children, how could they deserve to die? Maybe we should stop and ask ourselves, have we become so blind? Will 17 little children finally open up your mind?
Have you forgotten all that? I haven't. That bitch Janet Reno appointed by Bill Clinton and Hillary, who was really running the show most of the time, that wicked witch. They murdered those people, 17 kids in Waco. You don't hear anything said about it anymore. Do you hear a conservative right-wing show say anything about it? I don't even hear anybody that's in the racial struggle talking about it. That's how it goes. Nobody gives a shit about anything, and everybody gets away with whatever the system wants them to get away with. Yeah, Janet Reno, that filthy bitch. She's the spawn of Hillary Clinton. Last I heard, she was dying of some degenerative disease, and if that's true, I'm very happy. She may be dead already, because once these people have served their purpose, they're gone pretty quick. They're completely out of the limelight. The guys who got us into the Iraq War, I forget all their names. They disappear, don't they? They go someplace in a nice big house and live out their lives in splendor, I guess. I don't see how they could, being war criminals. Look at Bush. They're bringing that son of a bitch back on the scene. After all the death and destruction he's spread around the world. And he's a whole lot of the right wing Republicans still worship him like they did Ronald Reagan, who was also a war criminal. Well, you don't believe it? Well, read the papers, read the history. Read all about the Iran-Contra war. And that his henchman, Oliver North, he's now celebrated, and he's on TV and radio. He's an expert on everything, see? The reason I hate all these bastards, and I have no loyalty whatsoever to any of their institutions, is because they never pay the price. They do horrible things, and they're responsible for horrible things, but they never pay the price. They're never required to pay either by the right or the left or anybody else. They just keep trying to come across as being heroes of the country, and they all have a big library in their name. It's all in the library, you know. Yeah, there you go. Well, it is the 20th of July, 2016. I sent you out a short video. We'll see how that goes. Try that for a while. I'll make a few comments on video, send it out, and then we'll go to the audio for a while and get a little deeper into the news situation. We're at P.O. Box 401, Warsaw, Indiana, 46581. And that's where you send all that money, man. So I can run around like some of these guys and travel the world, man. No, I don't want to do that. I'm not interested in that. I'm not interested in speaking to a bunch of these yo-yo right-wingers either, and their get-togethers, their clam bakes, where they get some of these guys they consider their leaders together, and they yap, 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 and they say nothing, do nothing. Then they go home and sit on their ass. Yeah.
The post-coup chaos in Turkey is a reminder about the risk of leaving nuclear weapons in unstable regions where they serve no clear strategic purpose but present a clear and present danger, explains Jonathan Marshall. By Jonathan Marshall. The National Security Priesthood in Washington has always used claims of superior wisdom and insider knowledge to silence dissent about nuclear policy. but not even they can explain any longer why the United States nuclear bombs are being stored in politically unstable Turkey as it grows increasingly Islamist and anti-American. The Incirlik Air Base in southeast Turkey, from which the United States pilots launch bombing raids on ISIS forces in Syria, is home to about 50 B-61 hydrogen bombs. That makes it NATO's largest nuclear storage facility, with about a quarter of all theater nuclear weapons in the alliance's stockpiles. Each bomb has a yield of up to 170 kilotons, nearly a dozen times more powerful than the weapon that leveled Hiroshima. The bombs are stored in underground vaults within aircraft shelters that in turn are protected by a base security perimeter. But Eric Schlosser, author of a 2014 book on the perils of nuclear accidents, observed recently, with a few hours and the right tools and training, you could open one of NATO's nuclear weapons storage vaults, remove a weapon, and bypass the protective switches inside it. Within seconds, you could place an explosive device on top of a storage vault, destroy the weapon, and release a lethal radioactive cloud. In addition, the security of the bombs is premised on them being defended by loyal NATO forces. In the case of Incirlik, that loyalty proved uncertain at best. Power to the base was cut after mutinous troops used a tanker plane from the base to refuel F-16s that menaced Ankara and Istanbul. After the coup, the Turkish commander of Incirlik was arrested for complicity and marched off in handcuffs. One can easily imagine a clique of Islamist officers in a future coup seizing the nukes as a bargaining chip with Ankara and Washington, or, worse yet, to support radical insurgents in the region. Getting attention. After years of inattention to NATO's nuclear deployment policy, the recent failed coup in Turkey is finally setting off alarm bells. Jeffrey Lewis, a nuclear proliferation expert at the Monterey Institute for International Affairs, asked rhetorically, "Does it seem like a good idea to station American nuclear weapons at an air base commanded by someone who may have just helped bomb his own country's parliament?" F-15 Eagles from the 493rd Fighter Squadron at Royal Air Force Lakenheath, England, taxi to the runway during the final day of Anatolian Eagle June 18, 2015, at Third Main Jet Base, Turkey. The 493rd FS recently received the 2014 Raytheon Trophy as the United States Air Force's top fighter squadron. Hans Christensen, a nuclear expert with the Federation of American Scientists, declared that the security situation in Turkey and in the base area no longer meet the safety requirements that the United States should have for storage of nuclear weapons. "You only get so many warnings before something goes terribly wrong. It's time to withdraw the weapons." Most tellingly, former NATO Supreme Allied Commander James Stavridis wrote, "Being careful not to publicly confirm any classified information that if NATO really does house tactical nuclear weapons at Incirlik Air Base, this poses a very dangerous problem, and Washington will need Ankara's full cooperation to ensure that all the United States military equipment and forces are fully protected." The questioning should go beyond the obvious security risks of loose nukes falling into unfriendly hands, however. No one has ever explained what enemy the hydrogen bombs stored in Turkey might be used against. A quarter century after the fall of the Soviet Union. No doubt there are plenty of neocons in Washington who would delight in dropping them on Iran, as advocated by Republican billionaire Sheldon Adelson, but one hopes that most Americans do not share his fondness for gambling outside of casinos. Nor has anyone explained how the bombs might be used if an appropriate enemy were found, since NATO has no nuclear-certified aircraft stationed in Turkey. But in Washington and in Brussels, the inability to answer such basic questions is rarely cause to rethink old policies. After all, how many priests give up their incantations just because the chants don't work? Although Turkey offers an egregious case of nuclear risks, questions about nuclear weapons deployment should go well beyond that country. Security is also notoriously lax at NATO bases in Belgium and the Netherlands where nuclear weapons are stored. As Schlosser recalls, in 2010, peace activists climbed over a fence at the Klein Brogel Air Base, in Belgium, cut through a second fence, entered a hardened shelter containing nuclear weapon vaults, placed anti-nuclear stickers on the walls, wandered the base for an hour, and posted a video of the intrusion on YouTube. The video showed that the Belgian soldier who finally confronted them was carrying an unloaded rifle, brandishing nuclear bombs. As I have argued before, the threat of terrorism is only one of several reasons to rethink the presence of theater nuclear weapons on NATO soil. Those weapons actually decrease the security of Western Europe by raising the risks of catastrophic escalation in the case of an inadvertent conflict with Russia. The weapons are also utterly unnecessary for deterrence, given the nuclear arsenals available to the United States, Great Britain, and France. Despite these risks, influential voices in the alliance are calling for more brandishing of nuclear weapons, not less. A recent article in NATO Review declared, "The forces involved in the nuclear mission should be exercised openly and regularly, without undermining their specific nature." Such exercises should involve not only nuclear weapon states, but other non-nuclear allies. Last December, Poland's deputy defense minister proposed putting the United States' nuclear weapons on Polish soil. That proposal came a year after Polish F-16 jets took part in a NATO nuclear exercise. And the Obama administration, for now at least, remains bent on upgrading its hydrogen bombs and building a new class of nuclear-tipped cruise missiles, both of which would be deployed in Europe. Yet the observation of German Foreign Minister Frank-Walter Steinmeier remains as true today as when he said it in 2009, from the military point of view, those theater weapons are absolutely senseless today. The question he asked then is the one that all thinking people should be asking in the wake of Turkey's recent debacle: isn't it time to include substrategic and tactical nuclear weapons in the nuclear disarmament process, in order to eliminate once and for all the leftovers of the Cold War on the territory of Russia and Europe? Jonathan Marshall is author or co-author of 5 books on international affairs, including The Lebanese Connection, Corruption, Civil War, and the International Drug Traffic, Stanford University Press, 2012. Some of his previous articles for Consortium News were a risky blowback from Russian sanctions. Neocons want regime change in Iran. Saudi cash wins France's favor. The Saudis hurt feelings. Saudi Arabia's nuclear bluster. The United States' hand in the Syrian mess. And hidden origins of Syria's civil war.
How many people do you hear talking about this kind of stuff? Stuff that's really super important. Do you hear any these political people at the conventions talking about arms? Unless they're talking about, we got to have more arms, we got to have more atomic bombs, you know? Let me tell you a little story. I was lived by the country's largest Marine base for 40 years. Fallbrook, California, and that's right next to Camp Pendleton, California. And there is a naval weapons station there. And information got back to me that there were nuclear missiles stored in that area. And it also got back to me that one day they, in a routine security check, they found war decals pasted all over the nuclear weapons. Interesting, isn't it? Well, let's see a couple of these news stories while we have some time, boys and girls. This was on lone wolves. Germany must expect attacks possibly from lone wolves, says minister. Well, I don't know who you're referring to being attacked, but I'm not going to talk much about it, but who knows where these lone wolves are coming from? Okay, let's go down here to the next story. Could Israeli technicians help European Union weed out lone wolf terror suspects? Now remember, if you're a racial separatist or a national socialist or anything like that, you're on the list for being a suspected terrorist. You can bet on it, even though you don't hear anything about it. Here's another article. German emergency service workers work in an area where a man with an axe attacked passengers on a train near the city of Würzburg. Yeah, I guess he got upset. Wait a minute. Your letters for Wednesday, July 20th, Lone Wolves and Black Lives Matter. Let's see what this is all about. Here's one of those whistling past the graveyard stories. I think it came out of Canada, I'm not sure. If terrorist is defined as one using intimidation and violence in the pursuit of political aims, then we need a term other than lone wolf to differentiate and define those wackos who, unaffiliated with any clear political aim, are intent on pursuing individual and mass murder, mayhem, and self-annihilation. Sounds to me like the government of the United States, and even some of the states. The difference is they're not looking for self-annihilation, but they deserve it. As names have power, perhaps we should call them what they are, impotenists. That's a hard word to pronounce, man. The impotence of their lives, their situations, might be the cause and the result of their taking insane and terrifying actions in reaction to what they perceive as an imbalance of power. I guess you're talking about the military-industrial complex in the State Department of the United States. That fits perfectly. Power of which there is likely little to none in their lives. Well, the individual lives of these congressmen and senators that set this kind of crap going and cause problems all over the world, they do have pretty boring lives as far as I can see. The trouble is these impotents surface and act out in much the same way as terrorists, except without political affiliation or motivation. Well, how do you know? How do you know all this shit? When their acts are erroneously connected to terrorism. Terrorism is just a buzzword. Probably should call it guerrilla warfare. It increases our fear of organized guerrilla warfare groups, when perhaps we should be putting more energy into identifying and neutralizing those few socially impotent individuals living among us who act out, lash out, feeling powerless and alienated from our Western society's ways of life. Well, I'm sure every one of those people have a point. They don't get talked about their point very much, but they do have a point. Social impotentists should know that they will not succeed in changing or removing the many freedoms we are privileged to enjoy. Well, how do you know that? How do you know that? Whistling past the graveyard, baby. Here's somebody that doesn't like Black Lives Matter, but they don't have a very good answer to it. This is a Canadian letter, I guess. Oh, yeah, Ottawa, from Colin. While accepting the need for work on serious problem of discrimination, yes, it's everywhere. It's horrible. It's terrible. We've got to put all our money into getting rid of discrimination. Except if you don't discriminate, you're a moron. People who have no facilities to discriminate are less than morons. I don't accept the guilt trip that Angela Chapin lays on me as a privileged white male. Well, I think you do. I accept and strive to live by Martin Luther King's unmet appeal in his 1963 dream speech. So he's living by Martin Luther King, that phony preacher. We can never be satisfied as long as our children are stripped of their selfhood and robbed of their dignity by signs stating, for whites only. No, they're stripped of their selfhood by black people in the black community. Not whites only signs on the bathrooms, which wouldn't really hurt anybody, might hurt your feelings. You could always put up a sign, this bathroom's for big black guys, and that might make them feel better. I have a dream one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. Oh, yeah? Quote, we hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal. That was always bullshit from the very beginning. Never was any equality, never will be equality. And that was pinned onto that piece of crap by Jefferson to coax the French into loaning us a lot of money and helping us with the revolution. That's all it was. The founding fathers who said that stuff, or I don't think many of them did, all owned slaves. wait a minute, we're all created equal, but my slaves. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. And that's another mythology. It's just the color of your skin. I think if all blacks had the creative ability and the intelligence and the inventiveness of the average white people, that their skin would be ignored. It's not their skin. That's the nature's way of identifying them if you see them coming down the road. But the real thing is, it indicates that this is a person who is less than an Aryan. And it has to do with intellect, creative ability, and so forth. Now, some people are going to say, oh, well, there's Negroes around like that. Yes, some, but not enough. But that bullshit about it's just the skin, don't wash if you know what's going on. By extension, I believe that the unintended consequences of multiculturalism and identity politics, whether for blacks, aboriginals, or anyone else, is too often a counterproductive reinforcement of apartheid light. Boy, you're really screwed up, Colin of Ottawa. You're really screwed up. That's the most screwed up letter I've read in a long time. Well, here's news from Chicago and the Black Ku Klux Klan. Chicago Alderman Raymond Lopez says the city is facing a public health emergency due to the intensifying gang conflict. That's conflict, not gang warfare. He made that comment Monday in responding to the latest gang-related shooting that occurred in his ward Sunday. Lopez's Southside ward includes the 9th Police District, where an anti-violence initiative was expanded by police a few weeks ago. But surprise, surprise, it's still violent. The alderman is calling the police superintendent, Eddie Johnson, who is black, to provide assurance that the increase in officers will be accompanied by a new and more aggressive law enforcement tactics aimed at getting weapons off the street and out of the hands of my constituent Mexicans. Lopez also wants the CPD to halt the half of all transfers out of the 9th District and any other high crime district in Chicago as long as we remain in this crisis period. Yeah, crisis. There's a big, bad crisis. That crisis is what? Too many Mexicans. Too many Negroes. Well, they say Chicago is more violent than New York City. New York had 435 nigger shootings in 2016. As of last week, for Chicago, as of Tuesday, the figure was 1,813, mostly Negro shootings. Chicago had almost New York's year-to-date number of shootings, 355, in June alone. The discrepancy is sort of freakish, especially when you factor in population. Chicago has about 67 shootings per 100,000 people, and New York has 5. Why the staggering difference? The short answer, no one knows, really. But here's a longer answer with some plausible reasons. Let's see what they say here. I want to get the straight scoop. Oh, here it is. Poverty is more concentrated in Chicago. Chicago is a super segregated city because no white people want to live with Negroes. And there are a lot of Negroes who want to live with Negroes. It's incredible, visibly segregated by race, and it's also segregated by wealth, which a new story on the New York Magazine's Science of Us blog argues is the crux of the problem. A whopping 35% of black Chicagoans live in areas where more than 40% of the people live in poverty. Poverty causes guys to shoot guns. Where do they get the money to buy the guns and the ammo? That's my question. A 2015 Rutgers study found, and Brooklyn College sociologist Alex Vitale tells New York Magazine that this is the root of Chicago's higher crimes. Yeah, poverty. It's always poverty. As Vitale explains, when poverty is concentrated, it creates a culture on the streets where violence becomes endemic. If you're a teen or a 20-something in these environments, Vitale says, you have to show the capability of violence so that you're not consistently victimized. Oh. Well, you also got to spread the poverty around, too. Not because you want to be a predator, but as a form of self-defense. Well, yeah, that's all. In New York, the neighborhood-level effect is isolated to a few places, Vitale says, with pockets of concentration of poverty, like public housing, serving as a huge source of gun violence. Not nigger violence, not spic violence, gun violence. Those guns just walk out of the front door of those gun shops, load themselves up, and go kill a bunch of people. We gotta get guns out of the gun stores, I guess. But do you think that would stop anything? Well, that's enough of that stuff. You know what's going on. I know what's going on. And that's it for today, 14:05. Have a nice afternoon. It's getting hot around here. And I haven't seen any riots in Cleveland yet. I'm disappointed. Boys and girls, it's going to get worse before it gets better. Yeah.